we seek comfort for a variety of reasons and in a variety of places. The Lord challenges us in this Sermon on the Mount, in the Beatitudes, that we find our comfort in Him. Blessed are those who mourn, He says, for they shall be comforted. Thank you for joining us.
Prayer for you. So this year's theme is a Christian maturity. I hope and pray that you have matured in the Lord more this year. That's my hope and that's my prayer for myself as you're a pastor, as a husband, and as a father, and as your pastor. All of our pastors, that is our goal this year, is for us to continue to mature in the Lord. But I remember back in the 1990s, you know, when I was very young in the 90s. Some of you had to call that. I loved the Atlanta Braves. You know, I did. I was in the 80s. I was an 80s fan. And we went through many heartbreaks. Not really heartbreaks in the 80s. It was just an expected thing. This microphone, for some reason, it's not staying on my ear more. But it'd be all right. You know, in the 80s, it was just one of those year after year after year, you know, the poor Atlanta Braves. You know, some of you were here. You college students, you were, you know, you weren't even born yet. So you don't know what we're talking about. But in the 90s, things began to change, didn't it? I remember being at a school when Sid Bream slid into home plate. We were screaming and hollering and jumping and screaming in the dorm I was in. There was about 20 of us packed in this room. And so it was great, you know. And we thought the 90s is going to be the years of the Atlanta Braves. And as a matter of fact, that it was fun. But with each year that went by and not a World Series win, it kind of began to feel like the 80s a little bit, you know. When are they going to break through with this thing? You know, every year we would get up for it, and every year it would end the same way. Except in 95, they finally broke through and won a World Series. But here's the problem is, you know, in about October and November, when this was beginning to happen, is that they would let me down so much that I would actually, when they would lose, I would get down, really down and out, you know? I would just get really, really down and out. I remember when they had that a three-game lead against the Yankees, you remember? Yeah, and the Yankees won four straight. Yeah. You're probably saying, Tim, you can move on now. We get your point. But seriously, it was very difficult to me. I would actually mourn these losses for two or three days. It would change my mood for the week when stuff would happen, especially when I would watch the game with somebody that liked the other team. And of course, they would push and, you know, not make things happy for me, you know? I would mourn these things. We were seeing shots of people in the audience crying, especially in college football. I mean, college football, you know, in the national championship or something, you go, you know, the camera loves to pick those out. They're screaming, they're crying, the cheerleaders are wailing. I mean, just like the atomic bomb just hit United States of America. You know, it's welling, I mean, it's going on, and people are just beside themselves. And the interesting thing is that none of us as fans really have a vested interest in it at all. We didn't go to the practices. We didn't eat right. You know, we did not have to lift the weights and exercise and run and discipline ourselves. But we think as fans that we have this vested interest and that it just destroys us. I hate when college football comes around sometimes. I always have this joke in church that says, if Georgia loses, it's going to be a bad day in church. You know? Y'all walk through the door like, my goodness, they did it again. They lost to Alabama, got us again. Some of you like Alabama. See, that's what I'm saying. See what begins to happen? It begins to defy the congregation. That's all I have to say is Alabama's name, and boom, there's the beach. Shut the whole church down there. Might as well go home. But we mourn these things. It really does amaze me is that we have no vested interest at all except we just watch it. Players and coaches and maybe the mom and dads of the players, you know, maybe they're the ones that really need to be able to really have a right maybe to to really mourn and cry. You know, we as Americans, we've mourned many things. Much is tied to material things, much is tied to ball. Many things that we mourn, listen to this, it's not going to make a difference the next day. We mourn so many things that the next day is probably not even going to matter. And we get so caught up in these things, and that we put so much a stock in our emotions and things in our life are up and down on things that we can't even control. And when it doesn't work out the way we think it should on that scoreboard or whatever, we have these moments. But then Jesus steps in with some words that really begins to fix us again and brings us back home, brings us back in to the correct understanding of what it is to mourn something that is worth it. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 4. Matthew 5, verse 4. If you want to open up there. It said, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Isn't it amazing that Jesus just keeps saying things that seem to be wrong? You know, if I was writing this beatitude, and it's always kind of the opposite of what we think, I would think, blessed are the victorious, for they will be comforted. Because it's in victory that we're comforted. You know, it's amazing how Jesus turns everything upside down. What we think is right, he flips it. It's almost like that Jesus is reshaping his disciples. He's teaching his disciples something great. Even the Pharisees throughout says, we hadn't heard this type of teaching. This is something new. We don't understand this. And the Pharisees were learned people. They knew the law. They knew these things. They're like, we do not recognize these things. You know what? And the fact remains, we as an American Christian church a lot of times don't recognize it either. We don't recognize it either. That when Jesus begins to say these things and our minds go to a football game, yes, I'm born that, or our mind goes to something else, that's not even going to matter tomorrow. It's just not going to matter. It really, really doesn't matter. But we have this tendency to push ourselves to these type things, and that these type things begin to dictate our world. And puts us in these moods that we know that we're not really good for the kingdom at all. Blessed are those who mourn. Remember, let's go back in what a blessed means. It means this happy, Christ-like joy that only is given through the Holy Spirit, only through out of Jesus Christ. It is not based on our circumstances. It's not based upon if my life is falling apart or if my life is on a mountaintop. It's not based on my circumstances at all. If it was based on my circumstances, then it's not from God. It can't be. It's from within us. If this Christ-like, happy joy is like this right here, then it's not from God. When it's from the Lord, it doesn't matter about our circumstances. It's hard, isn't it? Amen. It's difficult. My son, this past Friday, a week ago, on the 12th play of football, I was watching him. You know, here's the other thing. When you're a parent, you're not watching the game, you're just watching your child. When we had freedom tackle football, all I heard was, he's holding my child. Because they're not looking at the other 11, you know, the 10 players on the team, you know. You're always looking at your child. And I watched Jordan as he failed. And I could hear it in his agony. You know, that kind of matters, doesn't it? Torn ACL, he's a senior, he's out for the year. You know, he and I have been talking a lot, trying to, you know, but his heart and his encouragement to me. And then Brother Braswell, Brother Hunter, this past Friday night, not sure if his ACL is torn or not yet. Same thing. We often allow, let me put it this way, a good test is when the world falls apart, do we fall apart and turn and go the other way? Or when the world does fall apart, we might be torn to pieces, but that Christ-like joy remains firm in us, and we can move on. Move on. It's not based on our circumstances. It says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. This word for mourn here, and in the Greek, is the strongest word that Matthew could have used for a mourning. It's the deepest, strongest word. It's a passionate lament. It's basically the same type of word as Jacob, when he heard about his son and Joseph was dead, that it moved him to such a grief, that it takes hold of a person, that just moves outward with our extreme crying, our extreme lament. I mean, I've been with people when they found things wrong or someone had passed away. I've been on the phone with people and I hear their cries. I've been with people in the hospitals and their homes and just deep, deep sorrow. This is the word that he uses here. This is not something that we go, oh, okay, oh, that really hurts my heart. No, this is something that comes way down deep from us. It's this deep lament. Blessed are those who mourn. And you might be saying that it doesn't make any sense that we're happy in the midst of this. Doesn't make sense, does it? It doesn't make sense to me. But it does make sense when I know who Jesus is. It's the deepest word. It's that extreme lament, that crying, that yelling, total distraught. I think you understand the picture here. It could mean, and I know we find a comfort here when someone has passed away in our lives and our family, is that they will be a comforter. It's that moment that Christ-like joy comes in and sustains us. Or it could be something of the condition of the world, that we look around the world and it's just so much that it moves us to mourn for the world. All these things can be true, but John the Baptist started his ministry out with repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus really began his ministry the same way. Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. This blessed those who mourn, it mainly means that we mourn our sin. That we mourn our sin. That we come to a place in our life that it's the condition of our own heart, and it's the condition of the church. That we mourn our sin. I'll say it again. We as an American Christians, you hear me say that a lot, American Christians, because I mean to say that. We often have a take on things that says that if I get the right job, if I go to the right schools, get the right jobs, get the right spouse, do the right things, then boom, this is great. It's wonderful. There's nothing wrong with any of that. Nothing wrong with any of that. And we can come and we can sit and we can sing and we can do all type of things. But there's not that deep mourning within our spirit. One of the things that I hear from time to time is, do you feel bad about your sin? And this is just Christian people. Do you feel bad about your sin? Nah, not really. And my thought is that is to myself. Whenever, and I'm affirmed a believer here, I don't think you have to sin in word, thought, and deed every day. I don't believe in that. I believe we can live victorious in Jesus Christ because Paul said we could. I believe that. But in whatever moments of our lives, whatever happens and that sin creeps in our life, not a mistake, and it's really amazing how many of us preachers use the word, well, I just made a mistake. No, just call it sin. Just call for what it is, call it sin. And how does it really move us to repentance? Does it move us? Does it break our heart? Are we distraught, as this word is telling us to be? Do we bow our knees and cry out to a holy God and say, I'm undone? Is it something that moves us in those moments of our Christian walk, for whatever reason we decided to sin? Do we have that same feeling as when Georgia loses?
Amen.
Do we have that same feeling? Do I have that same feeling when my Atlanta Braves bullpen loses another one? You know? I didn't play baseball, that looked pretty good, didn't it? Being that looked good. Ben said, yes, he's lying. It didn't look good. Being that was sin, you just lied. What I'm saying to us is this, is that in this unwarning that we Jesus wants to comfort us, but the fact remains is that we have come as a place as Christian people that we get upset because we didn't make a promotion. Somebody else got it. We're upset because I like to deer hunt. I'm in Kansas. And I see that 150, 160 class deer 60, 70 yards away, and I have a bow. Aggravates me. You know, I used to mourn when I would see a deer and I could, you know, that's a big bow. I think you get my point here through a lot of this. You're saying, Tim, I don't do that. I guarantee you do. I guarantee you do. I guarantee you these things. If we don't get a new house, or if we don't get the right boyfriend or a girlfriend, is that we mourn these things. And when the Lord is trying to get our attention, and Jesus was getting the attention of the disciples, is that here in this first century, you mourn so many things. And even in the Jewish nation within Israel, is he's tapping into something here that they're the mighty Israel. They have to answer to others. That they mourn their nation, they mourn their people. A question to us today again is, when's the last time? When's the last time you actually mourn for yourself? That you just knelt down before the Lord and says, Lord. You know, some of you say, hey, and praise God. Live a victorious life. I believe in that. Like I said, this is not something that I think, you know, that, or I'm not supposed to put it this way. I believe when someone is living for the Lord, I believe they can walk with the Lord. I think, again, that we can live victorious. We can. When's the last time when sin entered into your life that you actually mourned? That you actually knelt down on your knees and said a prayer? That you cried out to God, you said, Tim, you're going over and over this because the Lord impressed on my heart for myself. He impressed for me to say to you today, if we're going to mature in the Lord, is we have to be honest with ourselves. And we have to be honest when we are allowing sin into our lives. We have to be honest and call it for what it is. I'm not a fire and a brimstone preacher at all, and I never will be, because I will not preach you. I will not preach you to heaven. I will not preach you to hell, and I will not try to scare you to know Jesus. I will only tell you the gospel that says that Jesus loves you and cares for you. And if that's not enough for you to know and get saved, then any type of thing to tell you about how bad hell is and how great heaven is, it'll never last. Today, The Lord is calling us to mourn. Mourn. Not just as individuals, but as a church. He's called us to mourn as a church, and I believe Jesus was telling his disciples that we've got to come to a place as a church in general to mourn our sin. Is that somewhere along the way that we lost our way? That we have allowed things, and I'm going to preach to the choir a little bit, which I very seldom ever do. But we lost our way and have allowed things within the church that is destroying the church. Somewhere along the line that we've stopped challenging from God's word that there's just things he just don't do. And we have, I mean, I don't know if you read the article, Skillet's lead singer, if you don't read that. Very interesting. He wrote an article called What is Happening to Christianity? Something like that. It's a basis of a lot of some of these leaders of the church. They call themselves leaders, and we have made them leaders. Are beginning just to leave the church and pronouncing that they don't believe in the faith whatsoever. I really have a popular book, but back in the 80s, I Kiss His Daddy Goodbye. There's one of them, and he said, I just forget it all. And one of the things he said that really, really spoke to my heart, the reason we don't know God's word, the reason we don't mourn for our sin is because we don't know his word, I believe. Does that sound right? That we don't know his word. And one of the things that the lead singer, Skillet, is a Christian band's been around, I think, I mean, around because we were in college, I believe, long time. One of the things that he said was, is when you come to the place that you allow 20-year-old worship leaders to teach you theology, then something's up with it. I'm not pronouncing any judgment on a 20-something worship leader. I praise God they answered the call. Please don't get me wrong with what I'm saying here at all. Praise God for it. But when we rely on a 20-something-year-old worship leader to teach us the word, then we're never going to mourn for our sin. We're just not. We're just not. David Platt even said it even better one time when the movie came out, Is Heaven Real, by the little boy that died and went to heaven. You remember that? Thousands, millions of Christians lined up for it to buy the book and see the movie. David Platt was great on this on a 5-minute video. He says, isn't it amazing that we'll run to a 7-year-old to learn theology when all we got to do is open to God's Word and it tells us? Not to be on the little, ever how old he was, he kind of got it wrong. But it's amazing how we open ourselves up to these things because it looks good, it feels good, and it's real. It looks real to us. When it's here. So you understand my heart today for me and for you? Praise God that Jesus, when he taught his disciples, that he did not leave them there. He's, if you cry out to God, when we get close to the cross, you've heard what people used to say, that's in history. When we start getting closer to the cross, we begin to see how undone we really are. Really how undone we really are. We really are. But it's so wonderful that he does not leave us at this moment. In that moment of deep mourning for ourselves and for our church and even for our nation, does our heart break when we see things that just are not right? Does it hurt us? Or do we want to get a white flag and go pick it somewhere? Or does it really move us to do something about it? I said it before in our mourning for our nation. If you're against abortion, praise God. I'm against abortion. You say, I'm pro-life. Okay, if you're pro-life, then what are you doing to make sure that life is established? What are you doing with it? Are you going and volunteering at a Christian center? Are you giving money to these causes like a Crossroads Christian Center? Are you fostering? Are you adopting? Are you doing something? If the answer is no to any of those, you're not pro-life. You're just anti-abortion. See the difference? See the difference? Within us as Christian people, we have to mourn. When I drive through Georgia College and having college students that I've counseled throughout the years, and they And myself being in college, even at a Christian school, when I see the hurt and pain that sometimes coming away from home. And I watch college students get into things that they should never get in. And to my college students here today that love Jesus, I hope it moves you. I hope it moves me. As a pastor, when I drive through George College or GMC and I see all these students, I say, Lord, what can we do? Even at a Christian school I went to, I saw some get mixed up in things that destroyed their life. Did it move me? Did I mourn? It says, we will be comforted. Here it is. Within our mourning. Jesus says, you will be comforted. That's good news. Blessed are those who are in who mourn, for they will be comforted. And in other words, it says, within your mourning, within your seeking, in the mirror of your heart breaking for yourselves or for others, Jesus says, I'm with you. I comfort you. You know why we don't have comfort from the Lord? Because we've never been to the place that we really mourn for ourselves. And the Lord says, there's nothing I can do. He says, blessed are those who mourn. It makes no sense. Once again, but they will be comforted. Aren't you glad for that? I sure am. Because there have been times in my life, if it was a loss of a loved one, the wailing and the yelling, just that Christ-like joy, solid foundation, solid. And those moments of seeing in my own life, going into a door, into a closet, and shut the door and pour my heart out to the Lord. Guess what? Comfort. Christ-like joy and comfort. And as I mourn for our church and for others, He's there. He does carry you, and He carries me. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad we're not alone? Aren't you happy? There it is. The Greek word actually means happy. Once again, American Christianity makes a lot happy because we got this, 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 and this, and this. And the Lord's not concerned when you got this, 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 and this, and this. He's concerned that you have Him. And when you have Him, guess what? These things maybe just come along. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. It doesn't matter either way. Found it in Jesus. In the midst of the world falling apart, He's there. He's there every time. Never once did He ever leave me alone. Never once. In the midst of my speech impediment, when someone would make fun of me and call me names and call me a porky the pig. Yeah, they did. It hurt my feelings. Never once did He leave me alone. Never once. When my father passed away, never once. When Barry Ashley, I was in Texas and I got a phone call that she was gone. Never once did He leave me alone. Never once. Even in my sin throughout my adult life, in those moments of mourning, did He come in and beat me inside the head and did He kick me? No. He comforted me. Folks, He'll comfort you. Just be open to the Lord today. I want you to stand.
As we walk in Christian maturity, we recognize that our sin and our sinfulness should cause great mourning within. And when that mourning comes, it drives us to the feet of our Savior Jesus, a time of repentance, and we find comfort. Our challenge is to live in a period, in a time of continued repentance and drawing closer to Him and becoming more like Him. Thanks for joining us this week.